From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, October 12th. Just ahead, thousands of migrant farm workers across the Midwest are beginning to wrap up the harvest season. It's a high-intensity, risky job, and the coronavirus pandemic has made it even more so. We'll hear from the workers keeping our food system afloat. But first, these headlines. Ameren customers who want to put solar panels on their homes might be out of time to take advantage of a program that pays customers for unused solar power. That's if Ameren gets its way. Hannah Meisel reports.
Michelle Knox owns solar equipment supply and project management company WindSolar USA in Springfield. She worries Ameren's move will stunt the growth of Illinois' burgeoning solar industry.
It is Ameren manipulating the legislation to their advantage to try to move backwards.
The company says it's well within its rights to end the solar credit program for new customers, as it estimates solar generation is now 5% of the total system capacity. But clean energy advocates are suspicious of Ameren's math. The Illinois Commerce Commission asked Ameren to not make any changes to the program until its methods can be checked, but Ameren ended it anyway. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Farmers are more optimistic now than they have been since the pandemic started. That's according to the Ag Barometer, a monthly survey put out by researchers at Purdue University and CME Group. Michael Langemeyer helps with the project. He says the uptick in optimism is likely due to the second round of coronavirus relief payments for farmers announced by the Trump administration.
Right before we started the September survey, the announcement for CFAP 2 came out. And so I think the CFAP 2 also created some optimism in September.
Additionally, he says crop prices have been steadily increasing and trade relations with China have been improving. Langemeyer says the index, now at 156, is even higher than it was at this time last year. Students and employees of school districts in Piatt County now have access to free rapid COVID-19 testing through Kirby Medical Center, a rural hospital in Monticello. As Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports, Monticello school officials hope access to rapid COVID-19 testing will decrease the number of student and teacher absences in the district.
Illinois public health guidelines require that students and staff experiencing at least one symptom of COVID-19 either leave or stay home from school. They can return with a negative COVID-19 test result, but it can take days for results to come back. Monticello Schools Superintendent Vic Zimmerman says about 30 students and staff are absent every week because they're experiencing a symptom linked to the coronavirus. But Zimmerman says they've only had two positive COVID-19 cases in his district since school reopened last month.
We're talking about negative COVIDs, and they're having to be out of school just because the testing results are taking too long to return.
Now, students and staff will be eligible to receive same-day COVID-19 test results from the Kirby Medical Center. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Illinois' daily COVID-19 cases have increased by 20% in the last 3 weeks after a slight plateau in September. On Saturday, the statewide 7-day positivity rate rose to 4% for the first time in a month. State public health officials reported more than 5,600 new COVID-19 cases since Friday, bringing Illinois' total number of cases to more than 319,000. 39 additional deaths over the weekend bring the state's total fatalities to more than 8,900. Champaign County saw 91 new COVID-19 cases since Friday. The county's total death count stands at 27, with 351 active cases. 4 people are currently hospitalized with the disease. Still to come, we hear from migrant farm workers who help keep our food system running, even during a pandemic. That's next on 217 Today.
Hey, this is Eunice Alpasan, engagement producer for The 21st. You can help shape our news coverage. Here's how it works. Just text the word TALK to 217-803-0730. We'll send you weekly questions on issues affecting Illinois. We might even mention your answers on the 21st. Text TALK to 217-803-0730 and join the conversation.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Millions of farm workers throughout the U.S. work every year to plant crops, harvest them, and do everything in between. Among them are migratory workers who leave their homes for months at a time to take on what's often a risky job. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, the coronavirus pandemic has made it even riskier.
About 100 migrant farm workers are living at an old hotel on the sleepy outskirts of Rantoul, Illinois. Every day at the crack of dawn, Samuel Gomez gets his temperature checked on his way out. The rest of the early morning crew loads onto a school bus for a 30-minute drive to a big warehouse where they sort good from bad corn that comes in on a conveyor belt. Gomez is one of the lucky few with access to a car, so he drives there with his dad and sister. He's been here all summer, starting in the cornfields. Now he's in the warehouse, where he spends most of his day cleaning. It's never an easy job, but the pandemic has added another layer of stress for these workers. Gomez has been traveling to Illinois as a migrant worker for 4 years. He lives in Mexico the rest of the year.
Bueno, yo la verdad me sorprendí cuando decían porque yo no conocía a nadie con COVID. Yo pensaba que era, bueno, que era, no sé, algo que no existía.
He says before arriving here in June, he didn't know anyone with COVID-19 and didn't think it really existed. Since June, the local health department has linked 21 cases to the hotel where Gomez and an entire crew of migrant workers are living. Once he witnessed the outbreak firsthand, he says the threat became very real.
Y pues ahí me dio un poquito de miedo nada más, porque no quería usar cubrebocas y eso. Pues ya después sí, siempre lo uso.
He says he was scared and started taking it seriously. He began wearing a mask for the first time, using hand sanitizer and social distancing. But not only is he living with 100 or so others at the hotel, he's also working at an indoor facility with them. He says there are fewer people working at the warehouse this year, and everyone's masked, so he feels safe. But he also lives and works with his 66-year-old dad and says he worries about him.
Bueno, está en él más que nada porque no lo puedo andar cuidando yo tampoco. Yo me cuido por mí y por ellos.
He says all he can do is be cautious for himself and his family. 24-year-old Josh works at the corn processing plant, too. We're only using his first name because he fears retaliation. He's an American, born and raised in Texas, and he grew up in this migratory lifestyle. His parents are migrant workers, too. He says this year feels different. Since the outbreak, there's been less socializing, no cookouts or parties.
It really feels deserted and it feels different. Like the air, you can smell the air in the mornings and it just feels way different, like way different. It's not the same air I breathe last season, you know. You feel it.
He also worries about COVID, but says he doesn't have a choice.
Either I risk it all or nothing at all, you know. I want to leave something behind, you know. I want to leave a print behind, you know. I'm not going to give up.
Many migrant workers make double what they could at home. It's a prospect they simply can't turn down, says Sylvia Partida, CEO of the National Center for Farmworker Health.
Economic necessity. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, this is their work, and they rely on this work to survive.
Her organization has documented COVID outbreaks among farm workers in 17 states, including deaths in some states. But because there isn't an official tracking system, she says that's likely an underestimation. For migratory workers like Samuel Gomez and Josh, Partida says the risk of contracting the coronavirus is heightened. They often travel in large groups, live in congregate housing, and are unfamiliar with the local resources.
There's been a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty, and relying on organizations that might be able to assist them as they try to learn how to safeguard themselves.
She says it's up to the federal departments of labor and agriculture to protect these workers. But until then, they'll continue traveling to the next job and hoping for the best. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
This story was produced in partnership with Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman, Side Effects Public Media, and the Midwest Center for Investigative Reporting. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Dana Cronin, Lee Gaines, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldeen. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.